Hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us in a reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Reading from chapter 2, verse 10. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Now reading from chapter 8. Now the main point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister in the sanctuary in the true tent that the Lord, and not any mortal, has set up. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of God for all of God's children. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father, we praise you that you have made your tabernacle at Salem and your dwelling in Zion. May your shalom fill our hearts this morning and the hearts of all your children and all your creation. In Jesus' name, amen. Ancient future worship. What is it? How does it happen? I think we have a significant key, as Lee read to us this morning from the book of Hebrews. Jesus is the ancient future worship leader. Now, it's easy to understand from Hebrews 8 that he is the worship leader now, since his ascension and enthronement. We have a minister in that sanctuary, a worship leader. And it's easy when you read through various passages of the book of Revelation to see the role of the Lamb in worship services far into the future. But how do we know that he was the ancient worship leader? We get our first clue this morning from those early verses in Hebrews chapter 2. I will proclaim your name, and I will praise you among the congregation. I'll proclaim your name to my siblings, to my brothers and sisters, and I will praise you in the congregation. Those words come from Psalm 22. The latter part of them, I will praise you in the congregation. Psalm 22, written long before Jesus was incarnate, and quoted about him. He was doing that in the halls of heaven, leading worship, even before creation. Jesus is the ancient future worship leader. And what does that mean? We have a minister, a worship leader in the heavenlies. We got fascinated here a few years ago when we read a book by Ralph Torrence called Worship, Community, and the Triune God of Grace. And he talked about this passage of Scripture in Hebrews 8 and what it means to have a minister in the heavenly tent, in that tabernacle. And he took a good look at that word that's translated minister. The word is liturgos, liturgos, the same word that's related where we get our word liturgy. Literally means a worship leader, a liturgist, one who actually is leading and facilitating those praises. Sometimes with some of the baggage that some of us have grown up with in evangelical churches and charismatic churches, and no matter what kind of church you grew up in, you brought baggage with you, if you're anything like me. But with some of that baggage, sometimes the word liturgy is a little hard for some of us. And we kind of have to debunk that word a little bit. It doesn't mean that you get your nose stuck in a prayer book and have to live there all the time. Some people love to do that, and that's fine, and that can facilitate liturgical worship. But liturgy means stuff that we do together, people work, something we do as an endeavor together. And if you're going to do something together, you have to have a leader. And Jesus is that worship leader. He is that liturgos that leads that worship in the heavenly tent. We find other clues in the book of Psalms about that. Psalm 26, I have washed my hands in innocence and lead the procession around your altar. Whoever has washed their hands in innocence and can lead the procession around the heavenly altar? Only one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was spotless from the ages and was never stained with sin. His hands have always been washed in innocence. He can lead that procession around the altar, and he does, and he has done it for the countless ages. He is the ancient future worship leader. Think about this. Revelation 13:8, many translations render the reference to Jesus in Revelation 13:8 as the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world, implying that the slaughter of the Lamb is implicit in his character, in himself, who he is. And so it makes sense that once he was incarnated, that he would be slain. It's horrible, but it was appropriate. It's what was it was his destiny. It's who he is. And that ancient sense of being slaughtered before the actual crucifixion took place gives us a sense, too, that that which was in the past is what is going on in the future. The worship leading of the Lamb. It's appropriate that he lead worship. He is the Logos. He is the Word. To get it down into some kind of parlance that we can sort of understand, he's the MC, if you will. He's the mouthpiece. He's the one at the center. It's the nature of his role. He is the Word. Therefore, he's the one that would get up and speak and say, now let's do this. Now let's process around the altar. Follow me. Join me in shouting these praises to the Father. He stands center stage in all of the cosmos, in the invisible heavenly realms, and does what he has been doing forever and ever, without beginning and without end, being the liturgos, being the worship leader, the ancient future worship leader. And that's where we get our sense of worship being Christocentric. He's the leader of it. He's the center of it. He's the initiator of it. But then you see this perichoretic dance that we've heard Reggie Kidd already refer to and a couple of times here in the panel the other day. The Father desires that the Son have the preeminence in everything. He's constantly pointing us to the Son, and the Son is constantly initiating that praise of the Father. And the Holy Spirit, then, that we've been given, the gracious gift from heaven at great cost, comes to us and sweeps us up into worship that is already going on, into that appropriate self-love. I used to work with Bill Gaither in years gone by. And Bill Gaither, I was 15 or so years younger than Bill. And Bill said, you know what, I like to work with younger people than I am. And he said, I like to work with people that are energetic. He said, I like to work with people who have big egos. Big egos. But I want them to be sanctified egos. It's appropriate that the Son have preeminence in all things because he has the biggest ego, but it is a sanctified ego. It's completely selfless in terms of seeking self-aggrandizement and pours his heart out, his energies, all that is in him to orchestrate the praise of the Father. And then giving us the Holy Spirit, baptizing us into the Holy Spirit so that we are swept up into that that's going on there. Selfless is the wrong word. Equal with God, but not counting that equality with God as something to be held onto. He emptied himself and took on the form of a slave, took on the form of a servant, humbling himself even to the death on the cross. And at the name of Jesus, because of that, every knee should bow. Every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father in heaven and to the benefit of all creation and to the benefit of every worship service. And as we think about going back to our particular locations and assignments and places, whether we are helping facilitate leading worship in our home, maybe with small children, maybe just with a spouse or a roommate, whether we're helping plan and lead a worship service in any kind of church, let us reorient our thinking. We're not the worship leader, and it's not the guy that's got the microphone. Oh, we're doing a subservient role, an extension. We're baptized into the head. We are part of that body. But there's something much bigger than what we're doing going on. And what we're doing has meaning because we are baptized into him and swept up into it. The beautiful, dynamic, incredible work of the ancient future worship leader, Jesus Christ himself.